Number 21B.
Perhaps we remember also a very big statement of Mrs. Eddy in this regard, where she said already in 1889, that was that great period when she was teaching and teaching and teaching those 4,000 students within a few years. For her, in the way of teaching, a climax, but also the years of great trouble, that was a hard period for her, until she was fed up with all the trouble and said, I pack up and go away from Boston, and tried to find in solitude and in quietness a higher sense of Christian Science. There, at that period, she says, Christian Science, full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth, is accomplishing great good, both seen and unseen. That's a sense that we get from John's Gospel. And then comes that important word, but. And she has another side to the situation. But have mortals, with the penetration of soul, searched the secret chambers of sense, handling evil, huh? So she gives the other side of the same coin and says, but is that also being considered, the penetration of soul, to search the secret chambers of sense? Have we done that? And makes the statement, I never knew a student who fully understood my instructions on this point of handling evil. As to just how this should be done, and carried out by ideal. That's quite a strong statement. That she could say at the heights of her teaching, at her time, having taught the students, and must say, I have never found a student who understood the other part of the question, namely, how to handle evil scientifically and to carry it out. This should make us aware that this question of handling evil is something that we inwardly resist, knowingly or unknowingly, or I would say unknowingly. We resist it. We don't want to have a discussion with the devil. That we don't want. Well, naturally, we don't want it because one also has to have the right method to do it, or else it becomes a negative proposition. But let's just see that she would show that this is a necessity, and that one seldom finds somebody who handles evil consistently. Well, why should we handle evil consistently? Well, I would say whenever evil shows itself as a phenomenon and pops up into our consciousness and is not in the subconscious, still resting there quietly, then I think we are able and are willing to handle a situation, because we don't like any situation where we experience disharmony. But that is only the top of an iceberg. You say iceberg, yes. Yeah, the top of the iceberg. As also psychologists tell us that which we are conscious of is only about 10% of all that goes on within our consciousness. The rest is in the unconscious, is in the archetypal consciousness or in the collective consciousness, and we are not aware of it, so that we are always, so to say, handled by evil. Instead that we can handle evil, evil handles us. It mesmerizes us into many ways and means. So she said, actually, you see, we only are scientists if we are also able to handle unconscious error, the subconsciousness of error. And that is more important, or as important, or more important, because because it's the greatest part of evil that we experience. So if we have the method of handling evil, we'll come to it later on. If we have that method of handling evil, we can see that we can handle those evil which we don't know. And that's naturally important. So that the unconscious evil is handled, and if we can handle unconscious evil, or evil of which we are unconscious, then naturally we demonstrate much more the good than if we only handle that evil of which we are conscious. And so if we know the method of handling evil, we really can handle all that which makes up our character, which makes up our life, our human life, and therefore deals with all those unconscious beliefs of which we are not conscious. And that's the big thing. And I think especially about all these archetypal beliefs under which we suffer so much without being aware of it, about all those collective unconscious belief of which we are not aware of it. So how on earth can we really get rid of those beliefs if we are not aware of it? That's the big question. So the psychologists live on this question. They go and say, all right, I put you through the third degree until I find out what is going on in your unconscious consciousness, what's going on in your archetypal consciousness, and I put you through the third degree for $20,000, and then we find out perhaps what is really at the depths of your disharmonious situation. Well, we should do that too, but we should do that not with a psychological method, but with science, with spiritual science. And therefore, if we handle evil consistently and universally, without not always with the purpose of handling a specific evil, but as a universal claim that there can be evil, as a universal claim that evil is something and that it lingers somewhere in the unconscious. If we can do that, then naturally we really heal ourselves of being mesmerized by the unconscious evil. No one really knows himself. It's usually the other people who know what they are, or they, at least they think so. I always felt, well, I have no proper perspective on me. There is no distance in that I have a perspective. I am too close to myself. And so everybody likes the way he is. And everybody says, well, that's my way, see? That's all right, you have another way, that's my way, and likes it, without asking, is it a good way, the way I am? That is left out, that question. Because one is very happy with oneself for quite a while, the way one is. But the question is not answered, is this the right way? And so we should see that we have only one possibility is really to bring undercover and bring from undercover into consciousness, into conscious consciousness, what we are, what our idiosyncrasies are, where we have fault in character, where we lack behind in order to show the dignity of man. And everybody has that question all through his life. It takes a lifetime, really, or more than a lifetime, really, to uncover that which is still the chimpanzee in us, which still is the Neanderthal in us. To find out that is quite a job. But we can do it. We can do it. We can do it by seeing that if, though we don't know what is wrong within ourselves, we can know what is the right idea of man. That we can know. Through the synonymous terms, through the categories, we are enabled, really, to be conscious of our true being. You see, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Though you don't see yet what he will be, John has said, huh? So we too have to know, now are we the sons of God, though it has not yet demonstrated itself, though it has not yet come into the light, into the focus of ideas and bring light instantaneously. So in order to handle that, we just can go through the seven synonymous terms or through the orders of the seven synonymous terms and just in a general way go through them. Then we established within ourselves the right idea man. And that right idea man begins through analysis and through uncovering, bring the wrong sense of our mortal manhood up to the surface, and then we can face it. And when we are, if we have guts enough to face it, what a stinker we are, then perhaps we have a chance to get rid of him. So this handling of evil, can you see, is a much universal way of handling the mortal concept of man. And that is what we have to do. So then if we do that, then we can say the prince of this world is cast out. Or even further, John then says in the next subject, from the point of view of love, he says, the prince of this world cometh and findeth nothing in me. He does not need anymore to be cast out. He is out, and he can no more enter us. This is what we have to see quite clearly. Booklet on unity of good, there is another important article in it called Seed Time and Harvest that comes right after that important article on one cause and effect. And in that article, she takes up that question of handling evil also. I just take out here a sentence, or only part of the sentence, where she touches on this point, because it's something that is spoken out quite often. She first insists that we are understanding properly the unreality of evil and matter. She insists on that understanding of the unreality of matter. And as a basis, she says that it needs the establishment through reason, revelation, and science of the nothingness of every claim of error. So she gives first that method that through revelation, reason, and demonstration, we just have to get at error and try to see the nothingness of every claim of error. And says that's what Jesus has done. Jesus made the way plain. He showed a plain way. And then she goes on and says, this is not the path of physical science. So we can't get from physical science any inspiration or any indication what kind of evil has to be handled. We must handle it from revelation. This is not the path of human philosophy. It's not the path of mystic psychology. And so she says something very interesting. She says, the talent and genius of the centuries have wrongly reckoned. They have not based upon revelation. So she says here very clearly, everybody knows that he's not, as a human being, showing forth really the dignity of man. Everyone has somewhere and manywhere, so to say, a dark spot. But she says, try to correct that through revelation and reason and demonstration. Don't try to find it as most people try then to find it in psychology, and psychology is a very strong discipline today. Don't try to find it out through any other way but through revelation. Go out from divine mind reading. That's our way of finding out really the truth about man first. Whereas the others tried to find out the fault about man. But she says, no, try to find out the truth about man, that you are the Son of God. And then from that point of view, you know what is not the Son of God. The opposite of it is not the Son of God. And then you begin to handle the mortal concept of man in a general and universal way. So she said, the talents and genius of the centuries have wrongly reckoned. We are always trying to find, as I also have done this week, to find big thinkers. who we feel are thinking further than our nose. But really what we should do is to go right back to the divine mind and ask the divine mind to be really the great revelator and not the big thinkers. So we should not that the talent and genius of the centuries have wrongly reckoned. They have not based upon revelation. Instead, they have built on the sand of human reason. So we have to be careful that if we try to find out who am I, what is the dignity of man, what is the bigness of man, what is the idea of man, that we really sit back and contemplate from the point of view of the divine synonymous terms, what is the idea of mind? What is the idea of man from the point of view of spirit? What is the idea of man from the point of view of soul? It goes through those ideas. What is man from the point of view of principle, life, truth, and love? Then we find out really the true man. And through the law of opposite, we know very well that through the law of opposite, then the wrong sense of the mortal stands out and is analyzed and uncovered. And then it's a question, are we going to annihilate it? Annihilate means not destroy it, it means to bring it back to nothingness, to see it as an imposition, to see it as an argument, to see it as an illusion, as a suggestion of my mortal mind. Then she goes on, and this comes nearer to what I want to bring out. She goes on and says that her critics said that she monopolizes, that she says, well, I am the revelator, and I see things nobody has ever seen, and so on, and attack her on that point, and the critic says, ideas akin to hers have been held by quite a few spiritual thinkers in all ages. So that is an argument that you have to consider and say, yes, if you read this book and that book and in this religion, in that psychology, and so on, we find statements from fine thinkers that are the same statements as you have in your textbook. And taken literally, it's true. Taken literally, it's true. So is that the answer? And she herself says, yes, so they have. But, again comes that funny word, but. She acknowledged that what she states has, to a large extent, also already been stated by great thinkers and spiritual thinkers all the time. But she says that she states it in a far different way, a far different form. The statements are the same, the explanation are not the same. Again, we have statement and explanation. We can't just always take the letter as that which gives us an explanation. The letter is a letter and can be a true statement, but not a scientific statement. You know the difference now between a truth and a scientific truth? A truth is a true statement that cannot be gainsaid, but the scientific truth is a truth that is seen within the framework of the whole, related to the whole. That's a scientific statement. I don't know what I was teaching this week compared with in California. Did I give you the example from Karl Popper about this? No? You see, Karl Popper, one of the great philosophers in Europe, actually he lives quite a lot in California, in America, he explains it very easily. He says, you can state a truth which is not the truth. We never thought of that. Huh? We never thought of that. He says, I can state the truth. I can say, it will rain. And that's the truth. It will rain. Is it the scientific truth? Is it the practical truth? No, not at all. Because it doesn't say where it will rain, when it will rain, how heavy it will rain, how long it will rain. That statement has nothing within itself. It has an empty, it's an empty shell, nothing in it. And yet it's true. But it's stated so in such a general way that actually we can't say it's a scientific truth, though it is truth. Always remember that. In Christian Science, we state so many truths. which are not scientific truths in our consciousness. They are truths in being, but they are not scientific truths in our consciousness because we don't know what it means. And so she at this moment says, yes, it's true that many have stated wonderful things which I state, and that is absolutely so, I admit that, but in a different form. The content is different. What is different in the content? And she goes on and says, the cardinal point of the difference in my metaphysical system, she has put already that statement into a metaphysical system. The others have never put it into a metaphysical system. They never talked about the system of evil. They never could talk about the categories of truth that have their counterfeit as categories of evil. She put it into a system, into a science. For her, really, the nothingness is a nothingness that is understood. And so she makes afterwards that statement, namely, by knowing the unreality of sin, disease, and death, you demonstrate the allness of good. See, she uses, really, the knowledge of the unreality of evil as a fact in demonstrating good. Now, that is not so in other writings. In other writings, really, they say, yes, evil is nothing, it's an illusion, it's just something that does not exist in reality. But with that statement, they cannot demonstrate good. They can only say, well, there is only good. But she wants to show, I put really the belief of evil in a metaphysical system, and in within that metaphysical system, I can see why it is the counterfeit of the divine metaphysics, of the science of being. There I can have the whole system, and the very opposite of it is evil, and I can see evil as the counterfeit of mind, as the counterfeit of spirit. I can see the evil as the counterfeit of the Word of God, the counterfeit of the Christ, as the Antichrist. I can see evil as the counterfeit of the level of science itself, as the counterfeit of the level of divine science, etc. So I can analyze evil and put it into as a belief into the whole system of metaphysics. Therefore, she says, it would be difficult to name any previous teachers, save Jesus and his apostle, who have thus taught. So she defends herself that her statements are really original, that it is really a step forward compared with the other religion, or compared with psychology or psychiatry, and all these things, in order to show I can explain from the point of view of truth and from the system of science, I can explain why evil is nothing and what kind of evil is evil. And I don't fall into the trap of calling something an evil which is not an evil. And that's what we do mostly. We go through a bad experience and we call it bad. We call it bad. It may be the best thing that happens to us. So we formulate what is evil. We. Others cannot formulate what is evil because they don't know the definition of God. Therefore, they have no standard according to which they can define what evil is. Yes? So finally, in the textbook, she comes to that point which you all know very well. It is sometimes said that Christian Science teaches the nothingness of sin, sickness, and death, and then teaches how this nothingness is to be saved. This seems to be a contradiction. If it is nothing, then it doesn't need to be saved, and yet it teaches how to be saved. Yes? Because evil is a concept in the human mind. And therefore, the human mind has to be illumined and set aright. So, this is now the piece of it. She says, the nothingness of nothing is plain. But, again the buts. But, we need to understand that error is nothing. See, she brings it right back to understanding, not to statement, not to a human belief. And that its nothingness is not saved, but must be demonstrated in order to prove the somethingness, again, to prove the somethingness, yea, the allness of truth. So again, the evil or error in its statement can be used, when one understands it, as a somethingness of truth. So you have the equipollence of God stated here in a wonderful way, that it says there is only one thing ever going on. We make the distinction between good and evil. We say what is good, we say what is evil, and are absolutely mistaken, and are completely mistaken. Only, she says, the revelation can tell us what is good, and the revelation can tell us what is evil. Therefore, the necessity of using that method of divine mind reading, which brings to the front, really through spiritual understanding, the true idea, which analyzes, uncovers, and annihilates the belief in an opposite. Okay?